नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 21 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 एंड 20। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द गोपीज ग्लोरीफाई कृष्णस फ्लूट। We'll take the text 19 to read. Ga Gopakair Anuvanam Nayato Rudara Venuswanai Kalapadai Tanubhrishtu Sakyaha Aspandanam Gatimata Pulakas Taruna Niryoga Pasha Krita Lakshanayor Vichitram Gagopakairanuvanam Nayato Rudara Venuswanai Kalapadai Stanubhrishtu Sakyaha Aspandanam Gatimatam Pulakastaruna Niryoga Pashakrita Lakshanayor Vichitra Gagopakair Anuta Gagopakairanuvanam Nayato Rudara Venusvanai Kalapadai Stanubhrishtu Sakyaha Aspandanam Gatimatam Pulakastaruna Niryoga Pashakrita Lakshana Yorvichitra Gagopakair Anuvanam Nayato Rudhara Venuswanai Kalapadai Stanubhrishtu Sakyaha Aspandanam Gatimatam Pulakastaruna Niryoga Pashakrita Lakshana Yorvichitra
Matajis.
Thank you.
Ga, the cows. Gopakai, with the cowherd boys. Anuvanam, to each forest. Nayataha, leading. Udara, very liberal. Venusvanai, by the vibration of the Lord's flute. Kalapadai, having sweet tone. Tanubrushu, among the living entities. Sakyaha, O friends. Aspandanam, the lack of movement. Gatimata, of those living entities that can move. Pulakaha, the ecstatic jubilation. Tarunam, of the otherwise non-moving trees. Niryoga Pasha, the ropes for binding the rear legs of the cows. Kritalakshanayo, of those two, Krishna and Balaram, who are characterized by Vichitram, wonderful. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram passed through the forest with their cowherd friends, leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cow's rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned, and the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly very wonderful. Purport. Krishna and Balaram would sometimes wear their cowherding robes on their heads and sometimes carry them on their shoulders. And thus they were beautifully decorated with all the equipments of cowherd boys. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the robes of Krishna and Balaram are made of yellow cloth, having clusters of pearls at both ends. Sometimes they wear these robes around their turbans, and the robes thus become wonderful decoration. Text 20. Evam vidha bhagavata ya brindavana charina varnayanta mito gopya kridastan mayatam yayu. Thus narrating to one another the playful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he wandered about in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis became fully absorbed in thought of him. Purport. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada comments, this is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness, to somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of the gopis. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya declared that no one can worship the Supreme Lord by any method that is better than the method of the gopis. The gopis were not born in a very high Brahmana or Akshatriya families. They were born in the families of the Vaishyas and not in big mercantile communities, but in the families of the cowherd men. They were not very well educated, although they heard all sorts of knowledge from the Brahmana, the authorities of Vedic knowledge. The gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarani वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्चकृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते चकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो दिस इज द मोस्ट वंडरफुल पार्ट ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम. दिस इज द हार्ट ऑफ द भागवतम wherein the glories of gopis are displayed. In fact, here Srila Prabhupada quotes Sriman Mahaprabhu that how he worshipped this aspect of Braj, that the way gopis worshipped Krishna. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Lord appears in this material world, he is very formal. There is a rule for his appearance. The rule for his appearance is yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. That he comes to establish the religious principle. He comes to establish dharma. Whenever there is decline in religious principle, so Krishna comes, and therefore Prabhupada explains most of the time Krishna comes in the family of Kshatriyas. Why? Because the Kshatriyas are the one who establish orderliness. So any incarnation of the Lord for that matter, whether it is Ram, Narsingha, Vamana, Parshuram, all these avataras, they come in a very orderly way. But Krishna, when he came to this material world, he also most of his time he spent to establish dharma. Once he came out of Vrindavan, where he stayed only for 10 or 12 years, the rest of his time is spent in other parts of, you know, the world. And what was he doing? He was establishing dharma. But in Vrindavan, only for a few years, Krishna acted very informally, which is not very unique, which is not very natural. Not acting orderly is very unique. Therefore, Krishna's pastime is very unique. Extremely informal. There is no law. There is no rule. And therefore, of all the incarnation, Krishna is the most bewildering to the common man. Because what he would do next, nobody knows. Why does he do it? Nobody knows. All other incarnation, you know. When Lord Narsingha came to this material world, the purpose was very clear. Very clear purpose. To protect Prahlad and to kill Hiranyakashipu. When he came as Varahadev, it was very clear to lift Mother Bhumi. That's how they prayed also to Krishna. That's how the demigods and Lord Brahmaji prayed. When Lord Ramchandra came, very clear to kill Ravan. But when Krishna came, when he came to Vrindavan, from very beginning he was bewildering everybody. But that bewilderment is very sweet. Very extremely sweet. And the most bewildering part of Krishna's pastime is the pastime of Krishna's interaction with the gopis. Just like Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan is very informal, still all others had a formal relationship with Krishna. They could actually speak about it. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they were foster parents. The cowherd men, the elderly cowherd ladies, the cowherd boys, they could openly say that we are Krishna's devotee. You know, whenever people are, they ask, who are you? We are Hare Krishna's, you know. Many people openly say, once they know, you know, by saying this, there is a lot of power. Very few people will, you know, be embarrassed to proclaim that we are Hare Krishna's. But specially once you have this dress, you have a tilak, you have a kanti mala, you don't have to say also. People call, hey, Hare Krishna. I remember when I first time went to New York, you know, one devotee made us walk from Penn State to Bhakti Center. He said, I will show you New York Darshan. No. So when we are walking, even in New York, people are calling Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you don't need to tell that you are a Hare Krishna. No, you know that you are connected to Krishna, at least officially, formally. And therefore, Radhananda Maharaj writes in his purport in the 11th canto, or in 10th canto only, that Krishna's devotees are also addressed as Krishnas. These are the Krishnas. He writes like that. But for gopis to say that we are Krishnas publicly was scandalous. To talk about your relationship with some other man, that to a young person, married gopis or unmarried gopis, to proclaim that we are Krishnas was not very easy. If you see 5,000 years ago, the social structure was extremely orthodox. You cannot talk about anybody. And in fact, Parikshit Maharaj raises this question to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami is narrating the pastime of Krishna, you know, enjoying with the gopis. He said, how could gopis do this? Parikshit Maharaj raised this question while the pastime is being narrated. It's like an obstacle basically for Sukadeva Goswami. He's nicely narrating the beautiful pastime and you raise a technical question. No? So Parikshit Maharaj raised this question. He said, how can gopis do this? Because for them it was not the absolute truth. For them it was only a person, Krishna. See, they didn't know that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, they were acting on the platform of three modes of material nature. He said, how could they overcome this aspect? So Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj very quickly. He said, my dear Parikshit, I already told you in the seventh cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the seventh cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Shishupal approached Krishna. And who was Shishupal? Shishupal was extremely demoniac, at least in this lifetime. And he displayed that demonic tendency towards Krishna. Very abusive, extremely offensive. And in fact, Mahabharata explains, he offended Krishna, including all the pastimes of Vrindavan also. He was offending Krishna. So what Krishna did, Krishna actually cut off the head of Shishupal, not because he offended him, because that's what he deserved. But what happened to Shishupal? Shishupal, you know, he achieved perfection. So Parikshit Maharaj is told by Sukadeva Goswami, my dear Parikshit, this Shishupal achieved perfection. What to speak of these gopis? These are not ordinary living entities. They are eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Parikshit Maharaj does not stop raising this question whenever Krishna's pastime again happens with gopis on different aspect. So the gopis of Vrindavan, their love for Krishna was never exhibited openly. They had no chance to exhibit that love openly. Krishna's friends with Krishna, they could come to Krishna's home. They could go along with Krishna. They could jump on Krishna's shoulders. They could do anything and everything, and nobody could condemn them because that was allowed. It was very formal in one sense, even though it is informal. But two coward boys to have friendship with person like Krishna was not abominable. The sages, the rishis, the munis, the sannyasis, anyone who had a formal position to say we are Krishna's devotee, we are Krishna's lover, is not abominable. But just imagine for the gopis, their love was like a tsunami. You know, their love was like an earthquake, but they couldn't express anywhere and everywhere. It has to be held within their heart. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, how many times gopis openly got to meet with Krishna? Not many times. They were not able to meet Krishna all the time. Their affection for Krishna had to be buried within their heart. They couldn't tell their husbands, I love Krishna so much. No. That's it is scandalous. You know, For a man to hear that his wife is talking about somebody else, not only appreciation, that is also, that could lead to divorce. Here to speak about Krishna so openly, you know, Krishna, we love him. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains about different kind of adulterous women in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam only. He says the first kind of adulterous woman is that she is attracted to somebody else, but she is also with her husband. And the second kind of adulterous woman, he says that she is attracted to somebody else, therefore she gives up her husband. And the third kind of adulterous woman, he says, is one like the gopis. They have their family, but they are attracted to Krishna. And the gopis did not try to love Krishna by certain rules and regulation. No, these are the rules. This is the sadhana chart, and there was a japa retreat, and there was, you know, regular classes to bombard them how to love Krishna. Sometimes when you don't love Krishna and there is a bombardment of class, then you feel guilty. My God, I don't have love for Krishna only. I love myself. So you go in depression. So gopis never went through all these things. Their love for Krishna was boundless. You know, they couldn't stop loving Krishna. And at the same time, they are extremely responsible as the gopis of Vrindavan, being connected to their family. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada explains. That they never give up their duties. They never give up their duties. Unfortunately, what happens sometimes, in the name of being Krishna's devotee, we start giving up duties. We think that is our duty. That is our love. There is a difference between duty and love. Loving Krishna is not duty. Loving Krishna is our constitutional nature. And performing our duty is our duty. One cannot give up one's duty. One may give up one's ashram, but one has to accept some other ashram. One may give up being a grahastha and become a sannyasi, but that is a responsibility, that is a duty. One may give up being a brahmachari and become a grahastha, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he has given up duty. He has taken some other duty and trying to keep Krishna in the center. And that's what Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Jagannath Puri, Kaviraj Goswami explains, he did not like people giving up their duties, left, right and center. And Gadadhar Pandit had taken Kshetra Sannyas. You know, when he started moving along with Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya tolerated for some time. And therein Kaviraj Goswami explains that he did not like people giving up their duties. When Lord Chaitanya told Gadadhar Pandit, this is not right. If you do this, the religious principle will be destroyed. Mahaprabhu was not whimsical, and neither he taught whimsical behavior to his students. The flexibility or the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that one has to have a duty, and beyond duty one should love Krishna. When Gadadhar Pandit said, let my Kshetra Sannyas go to hell, Lord Chaitanya internally liked his love for him, but for external world he had to establish the religious principle. Therefore eventually he left Gadadhar Pandit behind. He said, you stay. And he moved away from there. Being like a thunderbolt. So gopis actually enact this activity. What is that? Extremely dutiful, but extremely loving towards Krishna, not because somebody else told them. Can you imagine 5,000 years ago, these women, these gopis are loving Krishna so much that they have no control over it. I remember one devotee said, when they would milk the cows many times, you know, it is but natural. They are not supposed to be blamed. They want to be dutiful, but Krishna's love is so much that when they would milk the cows, the basket would be or the bucket would be kept upside down. When they would carry, you know, water pot to fetch water from the lake or the well, instead of tying the pot, they would tie their own baby and put it in the well. Now, can we ever imitate like that? Just to prove I also love Krishna, we become consciously forgetful. No? So this is artificial. But this was natural for the gopis to do it. And they were doing it very spontaneously. So therefore, when Krishna, blew his flute on the moonlit night in Sharad Purnima, the way gopis moved towards, forest of Vrindavan, in fact, Bhagavatam explains, it was not organized. Sab log saath mein yatra ke liye jaate hai. Just imagine. When people go to yatra, more than actually enjoying the yatra, we spend our time in organizing the yatra. That is our problem. But the gopis, when they had to go to Vrindavan, it's beautifully explained by Bhagavatam, that they were just running to the forest of Vrindavan and they did not know that other gopis are also coming there. They felt, only I am hearing this flute. They were running towards that, to the sound of the flute. And when they came to Krishna, then they realized so many gopis had come being attracted to Krishna's flute. And this kind of renunciation is not ordinary renunciation. In this world, Vairagya is also like a marriage ceremony only. Sometimes when people take sannyas, like these Jain people when they have their sannyas ceremony. I have heard that people spend lakhs of rupees to celebrate that. Even for the Vaishnava sannyas also, somebody gives up grahastha ashram and takes to the path of renunciation, sometime their families are affected by that. Aray, why did you do this? But eventually, in that sannyas also, there is a lot of respect. There is a lot of glory. There is a lot of honor. People worship them. People offer them puja. People, do formal worship to them. And whenever sannyasi goes, wherever he goes, there are followers, behind them. It becomes like a cult only. So even vairagya, which is formal, doesn't challenge our life. Anything which is formal, if somebody sacrifices his life for some good cause, while doing that, there may be a danger. But eventually, that kind of sacrifice becomes formalized. It is immortalized. People talk about it, people sing about it. But gopis, when they were going to Vrindavan to meet Krishna, that vairagya was not formal. That vairagya was not giving them anything formal glory. Rather, that kind of vairagya would only create great scandal in their life. One person doing like that in a village causes so much of scandal. People burn them. Right. The host of gopis are going towards Krishna and they don't know what's going to happen. They were not conscious also that by doing this our name will be scandalized. We will not be able to show our face. As Parikshit Maharaj explained, the Brajabasis did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Even if they knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no such precedent. Lord Vishnu, even in the spiritual world, he only enjoys with Lakshmi. Very clear. Even in Dwarka, Krishna had so many wives, but they are all formal wives. One may question, why so many wives? But they are wives. So therefore, ultimately nobody can object. But here, gopis are not Krishna's wives. They are somebody else's wives. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj raised this question, how is this allowed that gopis are somebody else's wives, somebody else's daughters, somebody else's mother? How could Krishna enjoy with them? How is it possible? This question certainly will be raised again and again by Parikshit Maharaj. And so many people have raised. And to prove this point, that actually these gopis are not ordinary people, our acharyas, they have quoted from so many scriptures, they are not ordinary, they are actually Krishna's eternal associates. When Krishna was enjoying with the gopis, this technical explanation is meant for the materialistic people. Those who do not want to experience the pure bliss of bhakti. For them, this explanation are there. But this kind of explanation, what does it do? It minimizes gopi sacrifice, basically. Why? Because, when the gopis went to meet Krishna, it is explained that the Lord, by His internal power, He created another set of gopis who were actually the shadow gopis and there with the husbands of, you know, all the gopis. So therefore, in their homes, nothing was changed. Everything was normal. Life was going on very easily. And these gopis who were with Krishna, they were transcendentally connected to Krishna, their eternal associate of the Lord. So that, you know, we do not have to have any problem to be bewildered. But the point is, but in reality, if we see, if you explain this way, that actually minimizes gopi sacrifice. They didn't think like, okay, now we are going, so some other sets will be created in Vrindavan, so there is no problem only, we can do anything and everything. They did not go with that safety consciousness. Neither they went with unsafe consciousness. They didn't worry. The duality was not existing, only love was existing. So when they went there to meet Krishna, what did Krishna tell the gopis? Krishna told the gopis that he should go back. In fact, Krishna preached religious principle to gopis. Krishna said, this is not accepted in the social circle. How can you come in the dead of night here? I'm a young boy and you are all young girls. This will be scandalous. And he said, one cannot achieve me by simply having a physical proximity. He said, you go back. Practice devotional service by remembering, chanting, you know. He basically told them, do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Which is actually bona fide process for general devotees to achieve Krishna. In fact, the Brahmani Patnis, the next to next chapter, when the Brahmani Patnis also came to meet with Krishna, again, you know, giving up their husbands, Krishna actually sent them back. He said, no, you have to go. Nothing will happen. Your husbands will accept you. I will create that power. You go back. Krishna would not entertain them. He sent them back. So when Krishna told this to gopis that you have to go back, because this is not acceptable. It is not acceptable in the Vaikuntha planet also. What to speak of in the material world? What to speak of for a sadhaka? Sadhaka has to be duty bound. You cannot practice bhakti by breaking moral principles. Nowhere in the scripture. One cannot say I am bhakta also, but at the same time I continue to break moral principle. Nowhere. Even for the gopis, Krishna in the beginning did not allow that. He said you have to go back. You know, that was more painful for the gopis, that we have come here basically renouncing everything. And you know what? Ultimately Krishna could not accept them for good. Okay, now you stay here only, I'll take care of you. From a material point of view, gopis cannot stay with Krishna because that is again scandalous. If they stay with Krishna, that is only for one night. Of course, Krishna made that one night into one Brahmaji's night, but they had to go back. So therefore, their renunciation is so high, so profound, that we could never imagine. In this material world, everybody wants formal position. Everybody wants formal position. A devotee, a non-devotee, jnani. You know, everybody talks about formal position. You know, and then what kind of formal position? If that formal position is branded, that is better. No? Everything has to be branded. But there was no branding. There is no formal position for the gopis. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we worship the deities, we chant this, you know, shloka. Naham vipranacha narapatir napi vaishana shudra. Naham varanicha nagarapatir namanastu yatirva. Kintu nikila puranamrutabdher gopi bhartur padakamalayor. Das, 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 anudas. Now, Mahaprabhu would repeatedly, in fact, in front of Lord Jagannath's cart, he would not dance like a formal sannyasi. He was not dancing as a brahmana. He was not dancing as the founder of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He was not dancing as the leader of the sannyasi. He was dancing as what? Continuously would chant his verses. That my position is that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. Repeatedly would remember that. Why? Because That position of being the servant of the servant is no position. In fact, in some of the verses in the Vedas, the word dasa is equated to the word slave. But this slavery is not the slavery of, you know, Western slavery. This slavery is volunteer slavery. That I want to be your slave. No, you have purchased me. Therefore, the gopis tell Krishna in the Gopi Gita that, hey Krishna, that we are your maid servant and you have purchased us without giving any price. You have not paid any price also. You know, we have been your slaves without you paying anything and you still behave this way too with us. Gopis objected that. So therefore, when we understand this concept of slavery, dasatva, which is propagated in Braj Bhakti, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, then we realize how bhakti is so far, so deep. And at the same time, while bhakti is so deep, you know, the beauty of Mahaprabhu also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave up the position of being a formal sannyasi, being very dutiful. Lord Chaitanya is extremely dutiful, is very interesting. You know, this kind of balancing is the maturity of a good devotee. He is extremely loving towards Krishna, but being loving towards Krishna, he is extremely duty bound. He doesn't break rules and regulation. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, you know, many of us, we are going to Jagannath Puri. We will hear from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. When he heard that Devidas is sing, you know, when Mahaprabhu heard that song, now it was a glorification of Krishna. He became mad after that song. And he started running behind that sound. He didn't know who was singing. Again, he was like a gopi only. You know, manifesting that mood. And he was running. And he ran, and behind him, Govinda was conscious that Lord Chaitanya is running after a beautiful voice sung by a woman. And Govinda was running behind Mahaprabhu and he was conscious, trampling upon thorn. Recently we had gone to, you know, Vada for our Brahmacharya retreat and one of our devotee was swimming in the lake. And while swimming in the lake, he realized that I've lost my energy. And he started drowning. When you drown one time in, then you come up. You drown second time in, then you come up. Then you realize. You know, so one devotee, he realized that this person is going to drown. And now if you want to save him, then you have to be unconscious of your surrounding. The place where you started running, it was filled with rocks, thorny bushes, and he kept running. And his entire foot, you know, when he was running, was split open. Actually had six stitches. But, you know, six stitches are not ordinary. And he couldn't stop. If he stops, he will drown. No. So he was running and he jumped into the water and he brought him back. And this devotee missed all the 4 days of, you know, retreat. Why? Because his leg was swollen with 6 stitches. Right. Why? Because he had to think. If he thinks about his own foot, he cannot save him. So here only we can see how one can transcend. You know. So what to speak of Mahaprabhu running and Govinda is running behind Lord Chaitanya performing his duty. And eventually Lord Chaitanya was stopped by Govinda. He said, "My Lord, that's woman." Mahaprabhu, Govinda screamed to Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu came back to his external consciousness and he told Govinda, "If I touched her," he said, "I would have given up my life." So just see, Lord Chaitanya, you know, is so duty bound, practicing sannyas order, even for the sake of loving Krishna, exhibiting Krishna's love, he is not justifying that, "Oh, after all, you know, what can I do? I was in ecstasy, I was intoxicated by love, so therefore I didn't realize." If he had done like that, Mahaprabhu said, "I would have killed myself. Therefore, Govinda, be always with me." So we see this concept, you know, extreme love towards Krishna, but extremely duty bound. So therefore, gopis of Vrindavan, even when Krishna left Vrindavan, Bhagavatam explains that the gopis did not stop their duties. The Braj was continued to be what it was, but it was like, you know, some machines were moving. They were moving, they were performing their duties, you know, as it out of habit. They are milking the cows, they are taking care of their children, they are providing to their husbands, they are tilling the land, they are doing everything what a normal person does. Their physical activities were extremely orderly, but the heart was not there. Heart was somewhere else. Heart was with Krishna. So therefore when Uddham came to Vrindavan, when he saw this part, you know, how much they are absorbed in Krishna, their absorption in Krishna, and that's what Krishna explains in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that one who is in that kind of consciousness, everything is happening. You know, he's sleeping, he's eating, he's evacuating, he's doing everything, but he's not involved. Now, he's not talking about sannyasis. Krishna is basically remembering gopis only. Only gopis can do this. No, nobody can do like that. One who is half-baked, one who is not properly conscious of his love towards Krishna and his duty bound is always confused. Therefore, we keep asking question, how do I balance my bhakti and my duty? Neither we can balance our bhakti nor we can balance our duty. Therefore, I like this story of Prabhupada when somebody asked him, Prabhupada, can we chant Hare Krishna and drive also? He said, you can't do both. Neither you can drive nicely nor you can chant nicely. So either you chant or you drive. You cannot do both. If you can do both, then you are gopi. No? Or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No? Or his very, very advanced followers. Therefore, practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, we don't want to become gopis. Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, now wanting to be Nanda Maharaj, wanting to be Yashoda, wanting to be gopi, is nothing but Mayavadi philosophy only. Somebody said, everybody wants to be somebody, nobody wants to grow. No? So imitating the pastime of the gopis of Vrindavan, you know, by whimsical behavior, only leads to sahajaism. Sahajaism means what? Irresponsible behavior, which defies the definition of bhakti, which creates a wrong culture, which creates a wrong legacy. So therefore, when Krishna left Vrindavan and he became extremely formal, Krishna performed his pastime in Vrindavan, and when he came out of Vrindavan, even killing of the demons for that matter, it is explained, that Prabhupada explains that when Krishna was killing the demons, now in Vrindavan, killing of the demons is also not necessarily to establish dharma, because in Vrindavan there is no dharma, only love. Vrindavan is dominated by love. So therefore, even killing of the demons, Kamsa sent his demon to kill Krishna. But Krishna killed his demon just to increase the appetite of his coward friends. And that's what Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. You know, killing of the demons was not, oh Krishna, you are the establisher of the religious principle. Now you are going to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj the king. The coward boys never offered his prayers to Krishna. When the demons were killed, you know, they became more happy to celebrate with feast, eating nice tiffin from the boxes given by their parents. And the next day another demon would come. So there was no such thought of establishing dharma. It was establishing prema. When Krishna killed that demon, the bull demon, Aristasur, you know, killing of Aristasur was not a big deal. But creating Radhakund was a big deal. You know, when Aristasura was killed, gopis did not glorify Krishna. In fact, they said, you know, what is this nonsense? You know, you are killing a bull. He said, you have become now, you know, untouchable. How can you do it? So gopis didn't want to touch Krishna. So they were not, you know, impressed by Krishna killing the demon Aristasura. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill also, our Kavi Karanapur defines so beautifully the entire pastime of lifting of Govardhan Hill. Lifting of Govardhan Hill is the most magnificent pastime.
Can you imagine somebody lifting a hill? We can't even lift a book for 5 minutes. You know, there is no balance only. So Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill for 7 days. And what is the thought process of the gopas? If you read what Madhu Mangal says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami explains, Sridhama is telling Krishna, Krishna, he said, you are lifting this Govardhan hill. I think you are tired. So therefore give it to me, I will lift it. And very casually says, and he said, if you don't believe, if you don't trust in me, in my power of lifting the Govardhan hill, why does Sridhama feel like that? Because every time Krishna would wrestle with Sridhama, Krishna would lose. Seriously would lose. It was not like father and son playing the wrestling match. You know, where father would lose because he likes his son. But here Krishna would seriously lose to Sridhama in wrestling match. Every time Krishna tried very seriously to defeat Sridhama, he would lose. So it was a serious business. There was a precedent. So therefore Sridhama told Krishna that if you are tired, and I know that you are tired, give me the mountain, I will lift. And if you don't believe that I can lift, at least change your hand so that we can massage your left hand. No? So this is what Sridhama told Krishna. And all the coward boys, they were thinking actually because of our stick. We are putting the stick and therefore Govardhan is standing in balance. So lifting up Govardhan did not create any, you know, big deal for them. What was the big deal? The big deal is Krishna is so close to us for 7 days. Everybody can enjoy the association. You know, it was equal association. The coward men, the coward boys, the coward ladies, and the most importantly, coward girls. They were so close to Krishna that for 7 days, that was the most important. Lifting Govardhan is there in the sky, just like the sky is there. You know, nobody is bothered by that. So, we see how the Brajavasis exhibited this beautiful love for Krishna. The duty was there, but duty was totally obscured. You know, it was not prevalent, it was not prominent. But when Krishna left Vrindavan, what happened? The gopis became obscure. You know, their position, because now Krishna is going to perform a formal pastime. Now he is going to move out of Vrindavan. And he moved out of Vrindavan. Then what did Lord do? Now everything was very organized in regards to establishing the religious principle. Krishna got into politics. You know, he was going around killing Jarasan, killing Shishupal, you know, helping Kaurava, Pandavas to in the gambling match by protecting Draupadi. So all these pastimes Krishna performed, and basically in one sense he never came back to Vrindavan. And the gopis, for the rest of their life, as long as they stayed in this material world, they had to stay in the same principle which Krishna had preached to them when he met them in the episode of when they all came to meet Krishna after the moonlit night where Krishna blew his flute. What is that? That physical association doesn't matter. What matters is, one should always by some means remember me. And gopis for the rest of their life, of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, it became too much at one point of time for the gopis to handle this world. For the Lord came to Vrindavan, you know, and then he sent them back to the spiritual world of Golok Vrindavan. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the only literature which talks about these pastimes, the concept of God, the concept of personal God, the concept of personal God performing personal pastimes. These are unknown to most of the scripture. In the Vedas you don't find them. Vedas are very abstract in regards to, they are most deep, but still they are extremely abstract. What to speak of Abrahamic scriptures? You know, God coming to this material world is abominable itself. Why should God come here? And what to speak of God coming here and performing these kind of pastimes? Not possible. Unheard. So therefore Bhagavatam very boldly presents this pastime, displays Krishna's pastimes, the pastimes with gopis, All other pastime can be understood, but the gopis pastime is extremely difficult to understand. You know, people keep asking this question again and again. That how can God do like this? How can He do like this? But again, if you want that explanation, the explanation is there. They were not ordinary people. Therefore, Jiva Goswami, for that matter, when he saw in Vrindavan people were creating, you know, obnoxious activities in the name of Krishna, in the name of Parakiya Ras. So therefore, even though Jiva Goswami is a follower of Mahaprabhu, you know, Rupa Goswami, what did he do? Then he actually had to write the entire explanation about how these gopis were actually married to Krishna. Now, this is not to create more flavor in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, but rather just to protect the absolute purity of absolute truth. So that those people who do not understand, they can understand, okay, they were all married. But for Gaudiya Vaishnava or the pure Vaishnava, for them, the pastime of Gopi with Krishna, as Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, it's a pure spiritual substance. It's a pure pastime of his devotee, the gopis and Krishna, and how in that love, all the material barriers are broken. And we can only worship these pastimes. We can only hear these pastimes. Hearing these pastimes is nectar. But wanting to take part in this pastime is poisonous. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami explains, anyone who tries to imitate these pastimes is like trying to imitate Lord Shiva. What is that? Lord Shiva can drink poison. Therefore, Prabhupada gave this example. If you want to dance with the gopis, you think you are Krishna, you think you can do anything and everything, then you drink poison first. That is better, so that you don't do these things. No. You drink poison and if you can survive, that is one thing. Or you can lift Govardhan Hill. What to speak of lifting Govardhan Hill? You just lift one, go to Vada farm, there is a lot of work to be done. You know? Lift all the rocks, so that there is some tangible seva will be done. But if you try to imitate, and unfortunately many people did imitate, trying to proclaim, you know, that we are on that level, but they are not. Only Krishna, not Narayan, not Lord Ram, Lord Narsingdev. You don't see Narsingdev going around the gopis, you know. Even Lakshmi did not go close to him, not to speak of other gopis. You don't see Varadev doing it. It is only the prerogative of Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Why? Not because, you know, He is the source of all incarnation. In fact, Lord Narayan is also source of all incarnation. That's what Rupa Goswami explains. But why Krishna is the Supreme Lord? Krishna is the Supreme Lord because, you know, only He can perform these pastimes of being with the gopis. And to prove the expanse of the Lord's power, Lord's beauty, Lord's love, that when I want to love somebody and somebody wants to love me, my reciprocation goes beyond all the moral laws, goes all beyond the religious principle. Only Krishna can do that. And only Krishna did it. Nobody else. And this is what Mahaprabhu preached. And this is what Prabhupada came to give. He came to give the Srimad Bhagavatam this aspect only. You know, when we accept it, worship it, glorify it, hear it, then Sukadeva Goswami explains, what does he say? Sukadeva Goswami explains, then all the anarthas within the heart will be eradicated. And one can actually chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then one of the most important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, how this Brajabasis, when Krishna sent Uddhava as a messenger, and what did the Brajabasis say to Uddhava when he was going back to Mathura or Dwarka? Very interesting, you know, that the Brajabasis, we're not saying that our position is assured in the spiritual world. We're going to go back to Godhead. I think this is the prayer they offered. I will read it. In accordance with reaction of our fruitive work, these are gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda is speaking. They are speaking this. In Vrindavan they are speaking. In accordance with reaction of our fruitive work, may our good works and charity grant us love for Krishna. This is what the gopis prayed. This is what Nanda Maharaj, this is what Yashoda prayed to Uddhava, that you please, you know, offer these prayers, that we may always have love for Krishna. And seeing their deep love for Krishna, you know, depth of Krishna consciousness, Uddhava was overwhelmed. And he realized that if I say, I want your dust from your lotus feet, you know, Rudananda Maharaj writes and Prabhupada also explains, that would be too embarrassing for the gopis. Why? Because they are not formal. The gopis are extremely informal. So therefore Uddhava prayed to the gopis. He prayed to the Lord that I may become a Gulmalata. I may become a grass in Vrindavan. You know, not guru, not sannyasi, you know, not big preacher, you know, not president. No, nothing like that. He didn't want any formal position. By being with the gopis, Uddhava, knowing the heart of the gopis, that I cannot pray to them that, you know, can I get your dust? You know, that is more abominable for them. How can you ask? We are so ordinary people. So see the sensitivity of Uddhava. He said that I may become a grass in Vrindavan, so that which he doesn't express, but this is what the acharya say, so that the gopis can trample upon this grass and Uddhava can experience greatest affection of Krishna through the love of all the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is gopi, you know, story. And Srimati Radharani is the supreme gopi. So therefore we worship her on the altar. We don't stand next to Krishna that I want to stand there. You know, so she is the supremely worshipper, and Krishna is supremely worshipped. And what is our duty? Our duty is to just stand and continue to render whatever little service we can render, knowing very well that we are far away from this goal. And only by the grace of Guru and Gauranga, by their desire, at some lifetime, we will be able to serve Krishna in the land of Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class. You are talking about duty and also how the gopis were informal, you know, in their relationship with Krishna. And then their sort of that informality still did not come in the way of Krishna telling them what their duty was. So now, how do we reconcile our duty with relationship? Because sometimes, you know, it happens that we have to do our duty. We think that we have to do our duty. But at the same time, you know, we also have to keep in mind the relationship that we have between the devotees. So, what is it that we need to focus on more when there is a conflict between duty and relationship? Do we do our duty or do we maintain our relationship?
Again, we see that in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam can teach everything. Management, you know, everything it can teach. When Sudama and Krishna were with their teacher, you know, very beautifully explained. So when we did our seminar in many places, Gaurampur gives this example that relationship was there. Krishna was holding the hands of Sudama and the duty was there to the guru, carrying the stick, you know, different kind of stick for the yajna. So duty did not break the relationship and relationship did not break their duty. The problem with the conditioned soul can only pick up one thing. At least he thinks like that. Either this one or that one. You know, we create a conflict rather than complementing each other. You know, for us, either money or God. But the whole thing is Lakshmi and Narayan are together. You cannot have Lakshmi, you know, without Narayan. If you have Lakshmi without Narayan, then that Lakshmi is very dangerous. You know, it's like having Lakshmi without Narayan like Ravan. And Narayan without Lakshmi is like Shurpanakha. So therefore, we cannot become followers of Shurpanakha, neither we can become followers of Ravan. So the problem is not with Krishna consciousness, the problem is with us. Therefore, many times, by wrong practice of spiritual culture, people have spoiled their life. People have gone crazy. So even bhakti, applied wrongly, can actually destroy one's life. Neither you would perform your material duties properly, nor you'll perform your spiritual duties properly. You'll allow a psychiatrist to perform his duty. So therefore, there is no other choice. One has to come to this balance of relationship and our duty. If I cannot do that, there is a problem with me, not a problem on the other side. Some other I'm not able to manage it. At no point of time, as much as possible, these two principles has to be harmonized, not created conflict. And a Kanishta, a neophyte devotee means what? You know, we see that. You know, we all also went through that. For us, we fear, once you become a devotee, then there is no duty. Wow, very easy. You know, makes it so simple. Therefore, we hide the duty principle, you know, avoid our duty by all the time talking about wrong concept of Krishna consciousness. Nowhere, whether you take Mahaprabhu, whether you take gopis, whether you take Brajbasis, the principle of duty was never destroyed. It continued to remain. No, Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi was extremely careful where to eat, where not to eat. It's not that he was eating anywhere and everywhere. Since I'm a devotee, I can do anything and everything. No, as a sannyasi, he followed certain rules. But following that rule did not minimize his natural love for Krishna. This is art of Krishna consciousness, which most of us will lack. We feel, array, ultimately Krishna consciousness is most important. No, duty is also important because I have a body. Since I have this body, and if I give up my duty and just try to practice Krishna consciousness, that is artificial. That will not create a good legacy. So therefore, the mature devotee, you know, he practices in such a way. And we always see that. Radhananda Maharaj always talks about it. No, we have duty. Fortunately we have duties. So that we remain responsible and also practice our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it creates a hajaism. And we see, you know, Prabhupada writes, how even in the holy place one can create nonsensical activities, which he gave that lecture in Radhakund also. Therefore, the balancing factor, you know, it's so beautiful and so wonderful. That is our prayer, that while performing my duty and while trying to love Krishna, you know, that natural love for Krishna would awaken. At this stage, it is not there. So therefore, how do we do it? Sadhana bhakti. Chant Hare Krishna. Wherever we are, whichever place we are supposed to consistently chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But we cannot avoid. As long as we have a material body, till our last breath, duty will not go away. When an old man has a duty, young man has a duty, young girl has a duty, young boy has a duty, their duty may change. When an old man tries to act like a young man, that is not his duty. 70-year-old man going for a marriage like a 16-year-old boy, that is not duty. No. That is artificial. He has to act like a 70-year-old man. And a 16-year-old boy dressed shabbily, life is what, all death is anyway going to come. He is not detached, he is dirty. You know? When a young boy who is supposed to study nicely, he becomes detached, very dangerous. His detachment has to be cured, because not as healthy. That is not healthy detachment. And we see that, you know, when somebody acts whimsically, even devotees glorify. Kya hai na? Transcendental hai. First of all, we have to, therefore, one of the most important principles, devotees have to study books properly. Without scriptural understanding, everything is sentimental and emotional. Doesn't benefit us. No, maybe innocent is good in the beginning. But that innocency, if it continues, that becomes ignorance, and ignorance is very dangerous. It has to be dealt with scripture. It has to be deeply studied. And scriptures make it so very clear. No, beautifully very clear. So therefore, the whole aspect of Krishna consciousness, if we study, that it is most of the time balancing. If we fail in balancing, again we have to try to create a balance. We will fail continuously, many times. But we have no other choice other than to create that balance. A difficult proposition, but there is no other choice. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Probably talking about duty. What is the duty of a devotee in regards to the current issue that happened in India, in North India? What is the duty of a devotee, and how do we really understand what happened from the Bhagavatam perspective, so that we have proper understanding of what's happening? Because many outsiders are asking us, so we would need to know for our own sake. And
yeah, thank you for reminding. I wanted to speak about this also. This is a very important point. Like when our Priyavrat Prabhu had come, he's a, you know, the director of Food for Life. First thing he asked, what's happening? Why ISKCON is not doing anything about it? You know, providing, you know, relief work. Because it is but natural, a Vaishnava has to feel sympathy for these people who died in that place in thousands. First of all, we should be aware also. Sometime this could happen for the brahmacharis also. Some brahmacharis were not even aware. Aisa hua kya? No. So that is callousness. That is not again being very detached. No. And it is a very sad thing, because such events which are not seen from the scriptural perspective leads to atheism. The problem is a problem that, you know, it's a great tragedy that thousands of people died, but the greater tragedy will be people will be losing faith in God. So therefore, there has to be a proper understanding, and devotees have to be involved in philosophically dealing with it, socially dealing with it, you know, from every aspect trying to deal according to whatever their capacity. We were discussing this point, that why does such thing happen? They all went to see Badrinath, Kedarnath. They wanted their genuine reason to go there. And it's not a very easy journey. And people were killed in thousands. And not instantly. You know, so many people died after suffering for a long time. You know, if you see from an environmental point of view, somebody sent an article also, you know, this is going to happen every 10 years now. It's a global warming and global warning also. That how, you know, the kind of lifestyle we are leading, we are creating so much of pollution in the world. So therefore, as a devotees, you know, we should become as much as possible, be responsible according to our capacity. Like we discussed in our, like we are offering, you know, somebody was telling incense. Those who make incense in our Vada form, they said all this chemical incense, extremely hazardous, poisonous, violent also. So why should we offer that to Krishna? So offer dhup. No? So begin with something, you know, which is very pure. So we started in the temple only now, when we are offering dhup stick. So we request all the devotees, we may not be able to live in the villages, We may not be able to live the way the villagers are supposed to live. They are also not living now. No. You know, organically, friendly to environment. You know, so wherever we can do, where devotees should do consciously about this and talk about this to people. And when you offer flowers to Krishna, let us offer as natural, as local flower as possible. So that we don't pollute the environment. So they said, because of the environment pollution, you know, trying to use minimum things, rather than throwing things here and there, you know, and that could also lead to another environmental problem. So they say that is one of the environmental problem. And there is, men are, human beings are responsible for this. And it's going to happen every 10 years. The entire 98% of whatever is there around, in and around Kedarnath is destroyed. In fact, most of these structures were illegal. Not supposed to be built. And holy places, unfortunately, if you see, holy places are supposed to be, you know, whether you go to Himalayas, whether you go to Rishikesh, whether you go to Vrindavan, whether you go to Barsana, you should be seeing more dust, but you see more buildings. If you don't see the dust of Vrindavan, if you don't see the nice sand of, you know, Rishikesh, if you don't see Ganga continuously flowing, you see all the buildings, 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 buildings. You know, whom these buildings are built for? The pilgrims. So that is the problem. So one has to, you know, work on it, you know, speak about it. So that's a global warming not only happening there, the global warning, because they say this is going to affect the bigger cities like Bombay. I remember Maharaj once, he was quoting some report. He said Bombay will only remain a bay. No? So it is not that, okay, Krishna will take care. Why only Krishna? Krishna is the jhaduwala. You know, we have to pollute and he has to clean all the thing. You know, we have to take responsibility also, whatever we can. And secondly, you know, one may see from a spiritual perspective. I was giving this example recently. You know, China within last 40 years has killed 40 crore children. Nobody talks about it. A human organized activity. And if you ask them, they say there is a reason for it. And everybody accepts that reason, except few spiritualists. Everybody accepts. Nobody talks about it. 40 crore people in China alone, what to speak of other countries. Crores and crores of children are killed every day. And if you ask them, oh, there is a system we have to organize, otherwise the world will not be organized. If they can find proper reason and logic behind this, in killing also, where they don't give life, they take away the life, but their taking of the life is also validated by the people. We don't read them anywhere. So we were discussing this. If something of this sort has happened, so if I can validate what China is doing, I can validate what America is doing, what I can validate what India is doing about killing the children. If God is involved, if He is doing something, there must be some valid reason. And He gives life and He can take away the life also. These people cannot give life, they can only take away the life, and nobody objects. Then nobody is objecting that. Absolutely nobody objects. In fact, they support it. You know, in fact, it's a very sensitive topic to talk also. Here we can talk in outside, in a secular world, which is in a very materialistic world. If you say, how can you say like this? It is required. You know, there has to be a balance. No. In fact, we want to follow them. We want to follow America, we want to follow China, we want to be a superpower. And you want to be a superpower, then you have to follow their protocol only, their styles only. Nobody objects. So only when the material nature does it, you know, just like when a coconut tree, when you grow first time, they say you have to pluck the first batch of the coconut which are not growing properly. You are plucking them out. Basically, from another point of view, it's cruelty. How can you do like that? So Krishna could be plucking some living entities to create His way of balancing. I don't know. So if I don't see from a positive perspective, there is some good valid reason for doing it. That is how spiritually one has to accept, explain from karma's point of view. from environment point of view, and from pure, you know, logistic organization point of view, how they were not supposed to build a dam also. No, if you see from a material scientific point of view also, they have not followed that logic also. There's not one thing involved. Many things are involved. It's not only the nature. No, they are building these dams which are not very safe. So when the environmentalist presented to the chief minister there, he said, come on, you guys are not, you know, you are creating trouble. We want to progress. We need to create so much of electricity. So he's only seeing electricity. And just see what happened. So therefore many issues are there. And if you see all the issues, then you see, my God, God is not involved in here. Basically, he has created less damage. He could have done, wiped out everything. But the good thing is that next year when the Badrinath or Kedarnath will open, more people will go. That is India. No? More people will still go. You know, and I also want to go. Because that's all. Because Shraddha, unfortunately, is only destroyed in the modern media. But you cannot destroy the Shraddha in the simple people. You cannot destroy that. They'll go in lakhs. You know, like once somebody was saying, what the modern media does, they take, you know, very exclusive kind of articles, exclusive kind of events, and they make those events as the repetitive events. Still in India, you know, I was reading some article that compared to other countries, these are statistics, that America, Europe, for every 100,000, the criminal activities are 400, 300, 250. You know how much in India? Only 4. You may say, "Arey, aada to record hi nahi hota." Aur 100 dalo. Even if you put 100 more, still it is so less than compared to America, compared to other countries. One economist was saying, he said, why? Because we have less police station, more temples. Our temples are our police station. So people have that inner values and character. And these are statistics. And still, you know, even Indians, even devotees said, hey, India is such a... I remember one devotee came from London. Elderly person. He said, Prabhuji, hum kitne durbhagi hai, mera janm udhar hi hona chahiye tha. बोला ठीक है अगले जन्म में गोपीनाथ में आपको उधर ही जन्म देने दो उधर ही अच्छा से भक्ति करो. सो दे डोंट हैव प्रॉपर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑल्सो इवन फ्रॉम अ स्टैटिस्टिक पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू द क्राइम इज लेस. स्टिल पीपल टेक केयर ऑफ देयर पेरेंट्स इन इंडिया कंपेयर टू द वेस्ट. स्टिल मेन एंड वुमेन हस्बैंड एंड वाइफ स्टे टुगेदर. So those stories, the newspapers, television do not speak about good stories. You know, today's ideal couple we are going to present in newspaper. Have you ever seen? They will not do. They will talk about Hollywood, Bollywood, their lafdas, theirs lafdas. You know, and that as a glorification. And we start believing also that. You know, even devotees start believing it. That is unfortunate. So newspapers are there to destroy our faith. And the newspaper are there not to give philosophical understanding, rather anti-philosophical understanding. Bhagwan Shiv ne apna mandir bacha le, apne bhakton ko maar diya. You know, we are laughing. Just, but you imagine, you know, devotees can handle and overcome all this nonsense. But for a novice, simple, one who doesn't have a philosophical understanding, he will never go to any holy place. And I'll never go anymore to holy places. Just see what happened. And then anyway, there is attack from outside people also. The conversion will increase now. वो बोलेंगे अरे देखो तुम्हारे धर्म में लोग इतने लोग मरे गए. You join our religion. As if in their religion doesn't happen. In 16th century to 17th century, Europe in crusaders lost 1 crore people. Somebody sent me an article yesterday. You know, how all over the world Shias are being killed. Only in 1 year in Syria, 93,000 people are being killed. 93,000 people have been killed. Afghanistan, Pakistan in two, three years. Religious conflict only. Between the same religion. 2,50,000 people are being killed. So therefore, the Indian, the Bharatiya system, the Vedic system, you know, which is not being preached properly. We don't preach properly. Protected, yeah, protection is here only. In fact, Prabhupada explained in one place, he says there is some material happiness in America and some spiritual happiness in India and rest everybody is a miserable place. He said, I have traveled. You know? In one conversation he said, I have traveled so many countries, but I have not seen any happiness anywhere except some material happiness in America and some spiritual happiness in India. He says like that. So therefore, unless we are bold and present this concept to people, you know, it is not God, it is our bad governance, you know, corrupt governance, and polluting the material nature. And if you want to see God also, see what you are doing, you say, okay, there has to be orderliness, we need to remove. One French minister had told his king, you know, they asked him, what could we do for our country? He said, you know, we have 60 lakh extra people, eliminate them. Old, unborn, invalid, unko maar do, to apne balance ho jaga. And they actually adapted that. Overpopulation, this kind of concept, what does it do? It makes man feel like that. And they start doing it. And nobody talks about it, unfortunately. Even devotees are sometimes, if you go and speak this in the colleges, it's a very sensitive issue. You'll be pounced upon. Come on, how can you say, this is done for the security, this is done for the safety of people. And somebody says, you know, those who are being aborted, they don't have voice to speak. And those who are pro-abortion are already born. Right. Only they can talk about pro-abortion because they're already born. So we have to see from every perspective. And that article says, you know, which Krishna Chandrapur had sent, what's happening now from an environment point of view, social point of view, psychological point of view, that somebody was supposed to be born, he's not allowed to be born. Uske dushparinam, what are the defects of it? And that's what the article was mentioning. Therefore, there's no question of having any, you know, understanding, arre isme bhagwan aise kaise kar sakta hai. Devotee should never raise such question only. No question of asking such question. Because whatever is happening, 99% we are responsible. Human society is responsible. And whatever God is responsible, we can justify it. There is some tangible, substantial reason also. Somebody said, Dhara Devi, na? What is that? Huh? Dhari Devi. You read that article? No, somebody, you know, they were not supposed to move her. Whenever they tried to move her, some disasters have taken place. So they said, the day that she was moved, this disaster took place. Some devotees are asking for you, what do you think? I said, you know, Dhari Devi would kill demons. You know, I would not, at least it doesn't make sense that Dhari Devi would cause such a havoc to everybody. You know, demigod, Shakti, Vishnu, they don't kill people. They kill demonic people. Of course, from another perspective, if you are involved party also in that crime, and if you are close to a forest fire, you know, you may not be responsible for the forest fire, but because you are close, you also get burned. Because of Shurpanaka and Ravan, it is not that all the Lankavasis were involved in the crime. But some other, because they are connected to Ravan and Shurpanaka, the effect was there. So in that sense, Dhari Devi would not want to kill them, but she wanted to teach the lesson to these people. So you can see from a different perspective. Always see the positive perspective of it rather than negative perspective. And that's what exactly the newspaper, the TV channel, you know, they are raised atheistically, communistically, capitalism. So therefore, they will only see anti-philosophy. You can only read the reports, but not their philosophy. Because they don't have one. They have opposite one. So therefore, devotees, wherever they get the chance, they have to present this. and do something. Therefore, today evening we have a special kirtan, you know, offering the benefits of this kirtan to all the people who got affected by this tragedy. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.